Would you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our brief meditation this morning is the first of the readings that you heard, Romans 8. I believe that here in chapel, when we adorn our chapel today and put up liturgical colors of red instead of green, and you read on your schedule of what's going to happen in chapel this week, and you see something on there about St. James the Elder transferred, it probably does nothing more than recognize that in most of our Lutheran churches, we tend not to recognize the days that celebrate the lives of the saints who have gone before us. And even though in these hot summer days, and sitting in chapel here, it is indeed, I suppose, somewhat uncomfortable, I felt it important to have both readings read today because they fit so well and apply so well to St. James the Elder. St. James, one of the sons of thunder, who saw indeed the Lord at the height of his exaltation, but also at the depth of his humiliation, whose mother came and pleaded for a special place for him. And the Lord indeed said to him, "You will indeed drink of the cup." And St. James the Elder was the first indeed of the apostles to drink of that cup of suffering and death, since he was martyred certainly somewhere between the years 42 and 44. And one might ask, what kind of instruction can one get from this? What would possess men to drink of that cup? What would sustain them? And we have this reading then from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And if you need any chapter in Scripture that will take you from the pits and from the depths and lift you to the heights, it is certainly Romans 8. There's any one chapter that seems to sum up the instruction and the assurance and the comfort that St. Paul gives in his writings, certainly a case could be made that Romans 8 is such a summation. And among the various jewels of Romans 8, we have the center jewel in the text before us. In the brief span of time that we have in here for a chapel address, we can only begin to scratch the surface of what this text says to us. We're talking here about a relationship brought about by the Holy Spirit himself. If you have any doubts whatsoever that you are involved in the sense of that God owes it to you or that you participate in, and that you are assaulted at times in your faith, then hear these words that start our text. It has nothing to do with you. Your salvation had its origin before time even began. before creation. That's when your salvation began, and it has been continued to this very day, and doesn't depend, therefore, on us. It depends on God and His love and His grace alone. Our text further tells us that God is never, hear that word, never against us. The world at times would like to say, how can your God do that to you? God must be punishing you. And our text says, no, all wrong. God never punishes us. God never condemns us. Let those words sink in, my friends. Never. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, condemnation and punishment is gone. The consequences of our sin and the disciplinary action of what God permits in our lives is never and dare never be construed as condemnation and punishment. They are gone. Do you hear these words with your heart and with the spirit that dwells in you? So often, and I fear that's true, maybe particularly here at a seminary where we study theology in all of its depth, that we tend to intellectualize our faith. We tend to dig and get out the jot and the tittles and all of that and never really let that spirit soar that is within us. All things work together for good. Who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies us. Respond with your heart and with your life. Think of what this text says to us. Who can be against us? Most of us have been around the block enough times to know there's adversity and that there are people who will lay everything to our charge. St. James certainly knew it. He was martyred. And yet what sustained him? The Spirit which God had given him, the justification, the love which is in Christ Jesus. Who can be against us? No one. Who can condemn us? And Satan in the world is all too willing to do that for us. Something happens to us, and we have a lot of friends out there that sound like the friends of Job. You must have done something terrible. Our sins are gone, my friends. They're gone. Our God tells us, as difficult as that is to believe, our God tells us, I remember your sins no more. And if God remembers our sins no more, then He certainly doesn't condemn us for them or punish us for them. They're gone. Who or what can separate us from the love of God? I don't know all of your histories the same as you don't know all of mine. I don't know what's going on in your life this morning. I assume few of you got Greek going on in your life this morning. And I suppose for your sake we ought to add that into the pericope this morning, that even Greek can't separate you from the love of God. And I told one of the secretaries this morning I probably should insert the word heat in here. And I suppose for some in our country this morning, we could certainly add the words floodwaters. Think what assurance our God gives us when he says to us, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Take a moment and add your own list. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is not just theology. This is life. This is the life of the Spirit, the life that the Spirit gives us. St. James had no different faith than what you and I possess this morning. It's that faith of St. James that permitted him to go to the sword, praising and thanking his God for a salvation that was wrought before creation and sustained by God alone. And my friends, that's the same faith that you and I have been given by the Spirit. The same love of our Lord Jesus Christ that saw us and knew us and named us before creation brought you to faith in him and now nourishes you and me in that faith. So that this morning we can leave this place soaring with no matter what's going on in our lives. For we know, we are confident, in the words of St. Paul, we are persuaded, we've waited out, and we know where the balance comes down. We are persuaded that absolutely nothing, nothing, my friends, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who lived, the one who died, the one who rose again, so that nothing could separate us from him. In Jesus' name, amen.